daf is daf kuf dalet. So we were in the middle of a discussion at the very top of kuf dalet and aleph. We were talking about if a person wrote the mem stuma psucha or psucha stuma, he wrote the wrong one, the end of the mem versus the middle mem, the middle of the mem versus the end of the mem. And initially we had said that that would be kasher, that would be acceptable. But then we had, because we were talking about shame, mishimel, and the word shame, the mem, in shimel would be an open mem, but if you write the name shame, it would be a closed mem. But then the Gemara brought a whole long brisa whereby we thought it would be possible. And then the Gemara said, based on the way the mem was floating in the luchos, the end of mem was more chashiv than an open mem. And therefore, so going from an end of mem, open mem rather there to a closed mem would be, an elevation would be acceptable, and that would be chashiv, but to go backwards to take a closed mem and to write into an open mem, that would be unacceptable. So in this discussion, the Gemara said that the Tzofim, if you take a look three lines down now, the Amar Rebbe Yirmiyah, the Yitzayim Rebbe Chiyah Bar Abba, Mansipach Tzofim Amrim. The Tzofim, the Nevi'im said them. They're the ones who said these new letters that were doubled. So the Gemara says, V'tizbara. Does that make sense? That the Tzofim is Machlokas, who the Tzofim were. The Rashi writes in Megillah that Tzofim were the certain Nevi'im. And the Yerushalmi says that Tzofim were actually young children who grew up to be eventual Talmidei Chachamim, such as Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, but at the time when they said them, they were actually young children, it seems. So they're the ones who said these letters. How could that be? How could they create new letters? V'tizbara, v'haksiv eila mitzvos, these are the mitzvos, which implies these and nothing more, she'ein ha-navi rashai l'chadish davar me'ata, that no navi could add on or subtract from that which was written in the Torah. So the Gemara says, you're right. They knew the letters, but they didn't know about the letters. They weren't sure which mem, which nun, which tzadi was in the middle of the letter, or the end of the middle of a word, or the end of a word. And then the tzofim, the navivim, came along, and they were misakin where to position these letters. So Gemara says, still, v'akati eila mitzos sheina navi rashai l'chadish. They still couldn't be michadish. How do they decide what the answer is? So the Gemara says, no, we always knew where they were placed. Ela shacham, we forgot the chazur of Yasim, and they came back and reinstated. Not that it was never known. It was known. And it was forgotten, and they brought it back in. The Gemara Megillah has a few other examples where we forgot something, and someone brought it back. Targum Onklus is a great example. Targum dates back to the times of Har Sinai, and yet Targum Onklus was attributed with Targum. How could that be? He didn't live in the times of Har Sinai. It's because Targum was given. It was forgotten, and Onklus brought it back. So here as well. They knew which letters went which place in the word. It was forgotten, and these Nevi'im, or these young Talmidei Chachamim, were answering the question, were being megalatas, where they were always supposed to go. Now, there's a question one always wonders. How come the Mansipach, the letters, are out of order of Alabes? It really should be, you know, Chaf, Mem, Nun, Tzadi, or Pei, Tzadi. Why is it going Mansipach, which is the Mem first? It's not the right order. It's not the Alabes order. So what the Gro explains is that these letters were added on by Nevi'im over generations. Or they at least figured out where it went. And it was going in order of when they were discovered. Not in the order of the Alabes, but when it was discovered. So apparently, according to the Gro, the first Navi who figured this out, figured out the Mem. Oh, Mem goes here. That goes at the end of the letter. This is in the middle of the letter. And therefore, the Mem is first. And then the next Navi figured out it was a Nun. And so on and so forth. So it goes in order of chronologically discovering the right position of the letters. The Gemara now says from a statement we just said above, Gufa. Amar Rav Chista, Mem v'samech shebeluchos b'neis hayu omdim. The Mem and Samech, we know that the luchos were chiseled out from one end to the other end. That means the Samech, the center stone of the Samech, was floating because it was a complete circle. And the end of Mem as well, complete circle around the middle, that means it was hovering inside the center. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Chista, says, Ksav shebeluchos nikra mibifnim v'nikra mibichutz. It was read on the inside and from the outside, meaning no matter at what side you looked at it, it was a readable, it was legible, could go naviv buvon and saru v'ras, which means not that you could read it the same direction, that would be impossible. But let's say the word naviv nun beis vav beis this end, I could read it. But the other side, you could read it, it would be backwards, beis vav beis nun. All we're trying to prove from this point is that you saw the letters right through, there's a hole right through. That's the letters were made by the spaces in between the stones. Now, Tosus asks a very interesting question. He says, Navav buvan bahar or rahav, yourselves, what's going on here, tema. Why were these the words chosen as examples if these were not words found in the luchos? It should have used, you know, kabed, as avicha v'simecha. Why wasn't that an example given? You read it kabed, or you read it dabak, however you pronounce it. Why would that? So just a strange question. There's no answer that he has. But all we prove from here, though, is that it was seen through and through the Luchos. So there's actually a very interesting question brought up by the Poskim based on this particular Gemara. We know you can't erase Hashem's name. But when you have a printing press, the old printing press, you'd have to put the letters in backwards so it could come out forwards, right? It's like a mirror. So you write, let's say Yud Kei Vav Kei, it'd be Hey Vav Hey Yud backwards. So then when you put it down, it'll be forward looking. So the question is, can you erase a backwards Shem Hashem in the printing press? When you first put the Hey Vav Hey Yud in, you want to now change letters. Could you take it out? Would that be a violation? So so some prove the Maharsham has this discussion. The Maharsham says based on this Gemara, he quotes from Poskim who say that it would be a problem of mechika because the letters were read on both ends. Even Navuv would, even though it's backwards, that would still be considered a kriya, that would be considered a ksiva, and initially he felt that maybe it would be a problem, but then the Maharsham ends up concluding that he doesn't think so at all. We're not proving from here that that's called a kriya, that's called a ksiva. We're just trying to prove the point that it was able to be seen through. The letters went right through the stones on both ends, but one end would be readable, one end would be not readable. You just could see right through, and there is no raya, and he felt that one would be able to. There certainly is room to be makel in removing such letters, but he said nonetheless it's best perhaps to have a goy remove the letters backwards, have him do this. The Kav HaChaim says if there's a great need, if the purpose is to write more letters for Svarim, if there's a tzorich, he felt even a Jew could end up removing them. But really, Mikar Din, the post can say there is no concern of removing backwards Shem Hashem. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, fascinating Gemara right now. Just really incredible. The Gemara now says, the rest of the Amud here, Amri Le Rabbanim Le Rebbe Yeshuba Levi. Le Asu Dardiki Ha'inna Le Beim Ejasher. Dardiki, which is defined by like young students. The Tosas quotes, it might be referring to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, when they were very young. So they came along and they said, Amru mili de'afilu bimei Yeshua ben Nun lo itmar kivasayo. They said things that even Yeshua ben Nun, very appropriate for this week's Parsha, said things that even Yeshua ben Nun didn't say. Incredible, deep Torahs, which, by the way, goes along in a general theme of people have a problem with learning Kabbalah and things of that sort, which things Moshe Rabbeinu never even said. Things that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was mechadish. We have such a concept. There's a certain evolution of a giloy over time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives later generations access to earlier generations that didn't know. The greatest raya is Rabbi Kiva, who's darshing the crowns on top of the letters that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So these young Tamidi Chacham, these Dardikis, came and said things even Yeshua ben Nun didn't say. What do they say? So they're darshing the entire Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, what does Aleph Beis mean? It means Elav Bina. Elav Bina, Rashi says, Lamud Torah, learn Torah. Bina means Torah wisdom. Elav means to be Yalav, to learn Torah. Gimel Dalet, what are those letters doing with each other? Gomel Dalin, to give, to be Gomel, to give to those who are poor, those who are lacking. That's Chesed. Shekein Darichol Shel Gomel Chasadim, those who are Gomel Chasadim, Lorut Achar Dalim, they run after the poor. They look for opportunities. So that's why the Gimel is facing the Dalet. The leg is ahead. He's chasing after the Dalet, the poor. Umay time a Pshuta Kare Da Dalet, Legabi Gimel, how come the leg of the Dalet is pushed back, like the top of the Dalet is kind of a little bit pushed back towards the Gimel? The Limse Le Nafshem, because the poor person wants to give the opportunity for the usher to give him some money. So he kind of has his leg sticking back to make himself available and accessible. The Limse, my time in Mahadir Ape, the Dalet Megimel. How come the Dalet's face is facing the way? You imagine the Dalet's that way. So the back of the head of the Dalet is facing the Gimel. Why doesn't the Dalet turn around and face the Gimel so that they embrace each other? So the Gemara says, because, again, my time in Mahadir Ape, the Dalet Megimel. Delaysin le bitzina, so he should give him bitzina. We don't want the poor person to be embarrassed. The Dalet turns around. The usher doesn't know who he's giving to. The poor person doesn't know who he's getting from. This way, it's bitzinius. Keichadu the lichseif minei, so there's no embarrassment. Hey and vav zesh shemosha kadosh baruch. That's Hashem, part of Hashem's name. Zayin ches tes yud. What are the chaf lamer? What are these letters doing? Vimata osa kain. If you do everything, meaning you do Torah and chesed and all that. And the Shem Hashem, the Shem Shemaim, you won't be zocha to zan oscha v'chein oscha u'meitiv lecha v'nosin lecha yerusha v'kosh lo keser li'olam haba. That's all the zan, the chein, the tov, the yerusha, the keser. All those things are you're going to be receiving as reward for learning and for gemilas chasadim. Then the next letter is we skip l'olam haba mem now mem psucha mem stuma. These two mems, maimer pasuach. Maimer Sasim. What does that mean? So Rashi explains here, the Maimer Pasuach Maimer Sasim, Yesh Dvarim Shinasan Rishus Ledarshan, Vyesh Shata Mitzuva Lesosman, Kigon Maisim Recover. There's certain things you should speak about in learning and certain things you should not speak about. So that's what Mem Psucha, Mem Stuma represents. Nun Kfufa, Nun Pshuta, what does that mean? So Neman Kafuf, Neman Pashut. A person should be Kafuf, should bend his head and be humble. And Pashut means to stand up straight. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Neman Kafuf, Adam Kasher. Tzarech Lios Kafuf of Anav. A person has to be humble. Vesofa Lios Pashut, Vesakuf Olam Haba. A person who's humble in the end will be standing up straight with great reward in Olam Haba. Next is Samuch Ayin, the Gemara Darshans. Samuch Einayim, a person has to be Samuch, his eyes. What does that mean exactly? Rashi doesn't interpret this, but Samuch Aniyim, help those who are poor. Lashon Acher, Simanim Asa B'Torah. V'kana also, a person should make Simanim to help. This is a nice plug for Zichur. Those who don't do Zichur, I really highly recommend you do Zichur. It's on the old app or WhatsApp. It's an incredible way to remember things. Simanim, in the Gemara oftentimes has Simanim. They're a little different mnemonics and little stories or hints to help remember the Torah. And Vaiter, Pei Kfufa, Pei Pshuta. What does that mean? Pei Pasuach, Pei Sasim. Sometimes the mouth should be open. Sometimes a mouth that should be closed. Shirashi refers to, I think it's a Gemara in Sota, Pepasuach b'shas ha-mechnasim pazar. Sometimes there are no magi deshir, no rabbanim. They're like hiding themselves. They're machnis themselves. So you have to go out and be pazar. You have to go out. And sometimes there are plenty of rabbanim, plenty of people teaching shir. So you should be close yourself. I mean, it's not about you. It's about what's needed. So if there's a lot of shirim going on, a lot of magid shir, there's no need for you to go into that business. You should be tanua. The best thing is to be tanua. Only if there's a need, you should step up. But if there's an adequate amount of people teaching Torah, so the Gemara says you should sasim. You should close your mouth and just go sit and learn. So then the Gemara says, tzadik kufa, tzadik pshuta. Tzadik kafuf, tzadik pashut. So a person, the tzadik, he should be kafuf, he should be humble. And then he'll have a great zakuf, a pshuta, a great schar nolam haba. So Gemara says, wait a second. Hainu neman kafuf, neman pashut. That's exactly what we said above with the nun. So Gemara says, hosif la hakasif kfifa al kfifa. We see that the Torah is saying, it's not enough to be humble once, but be humble twice, meaning be very, very humble. You have to really always continue to grow in your level of humility. In the nun, and then again in the tzad. And then the Gemara says, mikan shenitna Torah bimun manud rosh. So here we see that the Torah is given bimanud rosh, which Rashi says, berasach vanava yisera, with an incredible amount of fear, trembling, and humility. Kuf, it represents Kaddush, Kedusha. Reish is a Rasha. So that represents a Rasha. So my time, Mahadir Ape, the Kuf, Me Reish. Why is the Kuf not facing the Reish? And really, Reish isn't facing the Kuf. The Reish is turned around from the Kuf. It's just a way of speaking. The Gemara says, Amar Kaddush Baruch Hashem says, Ein ani yachal listaka b'Rasha. I don't want to look at the Rasha. So therefore, the Reish is turned around, so the Kuf, the Kedusha, does not need to look at the Rasha. My time, Mahadir Tage, the Kuf, Legabe Reish. How come the leg of the kuf is, the top of the kuf is facing, is stretching out towards the resh, then, if they don't want to look at each other. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Im Chozer Bo, Ani Kosh Lo Keser Kamosi. If you do tshuva, my hand is ready to write on top of you a letter, a keser, crown on top of the rasha. Just do tshuva. I'm ready and waiting. So then the Gemara says, my time, Akari, the kuf, Tulio. How come the leg of the kuf is hanging? It's suspended. There's a little opening. Di Hadar Bei, if you want to do tshuva the rasha, Lael, come in, v'leil b'hach, and come through that entrance. Messiah le the Reish Lakish, damer Reish Lakish, man damer im leitzim hu yalitz, la navim yiten chen. So those, if you want to be a late, you could be a late. You want to be an anav, you could be an anav. Do whatever you want, choose your path. Baldi tamei, poschen lo. You want to be in a tamei path, take that path. The tar, Messiah also, and if you want to take the tar path, I'm going to help you out. So the kuf says, here, I'm leaving an opening for you. It's wide open. Choose your path. Choose your destination. I'm here to help you out. Shin represents Sheker. Tuf represents Emes, the last letter of Emes, the signature of Hashem's name. My time, a Sheker, Mekarvin, Mile. How come the letters of Sheker are next to each other in the Alpes? It's like Kufre Shin are all next to each other in the Alpes. How come they're close to each other? And Emes is Mrachek, Mile. Emes is Alf is the beginning, Mem is in the middle, Tuf is at the end. So how come the letters Sheker are all lumped together in the order, and Emes is dispersed throughout the Alpes? So the Gemara explains, because Shikre Shchiach, Sheker is common, unfortunately. It's frequent, and therefore it's all lumped together as if it happens often. However, Kushcha, unfortunately, Lo Shchiach, is infrequent, and therefore it's dispersed, it's spread throughout. My time is Shikra, Achad, the Kari Kai. How come Sheker, each letter stands on just one leg, like the Sheker, the Shin, comes to one point holding a little small balance. The Kuf is just one leg each. The Reish is one leg on the bottom. How come they're all standing on one leg? The emes malaben levune, and the emes letters are squared where they have two legs. The emes aleph has two, mem is a wide bond to hold it, the tuf has two legs holding it up. And the answer is obvious. We've probably heard this before, because the kushte kai, emes stand, whatever is truthful will withstand, and the shikar lo kai, that which is fake and lies will not last, will fall over. So then the Gemara darshan is a little bit further now about atbash. You know, people oftentimes, they're not so into gematrias and stuff and ramazan, but it certainly is something that's part of the Torah. And here it's in the Gemara. It doesn't happen often, and it shouldn't be one's focus, but it certainly has incredible relevance. So the Gemara now darshan is atbash. What's atbash? So atbash is the first letter and the last letter, the second letter and the second to last letter, and so on. So the drush of atbash in that order is osi tiyav, me you want, you desire to be with me, esavalo, and I want to be with you. So bash, so it represents bi lo chashuk shmi yachal alav. He didn't want me, and should I want to be upon him? So if you want me, I'll come to you. But if you don't want to be with me, bi lo chashuk, then shmi yachal alav. I'm not going to place my name upon you. Gimel reish ger is gufo time aracham alav. If a guy's guf is tame, will I be have rachmanis on him? Dak dal kuf is dal sosi nal. My doors are locked. Karnav lo agadea. I shall not cut it down. So these are different types of drushes. Now the Gemara goes a little bit further. Ad kamidas Risham. That was all Risham. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is refusing to rest himself on those who are Risham. However, avamidas tzadikim, atbash is imatabosh, if you have a certain level of embarrassment and humility. And ger dak means imata osa king gurbaduk. If you do so, you live within me. You live up in Shemayim. And hatzvaf is chatzita havi bein chalaf. There's a chatzita, there's a separation between you and anger. You have a separation. I won't take out punishment on you. I won't take my wrath out on you. Zachas tan is einata mizdazeh min ha-satan. You're not going to tremble from the satan. Yam kol is amar sarshal gehenim. The minister, the ruler, the angel of the gehenim, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says to Hashem, ribono shel olam liyam kol. So everyone should go to the yam, which represents the sea, the water of gehenim. So amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Achas bata gif, which means ani chas alem mipnei she'ba'ot begif. I'm going to have rachmanos on them because they rejected gif, which represents arayos. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, he says beniyif. Begif sounds like beniyif. It's almost the same letters. And then he says dakats is dakim, which means those are very humble. Dakim heim and clean, kainim heim, tzadikim heim. They're clean. They stand upright. They're good people. Halak is ein lecha chelik behen. You have no chelik within them. You can't touch them. Marzan shas is amar gehenim lefanava. Gehenim says back to Hashem, ribono shalom mari zununi mizaro shel sheis. They come from the zera of sheis, which is a full of the zara. So amar la, Hashem says back to them, I'm not sure it's kale or aleph lamed bam gan das, lehechan olichem legan hadas. So where shall lead them, the Jews, to the gan hadas, to the beautiful gan Eden? We see here the Hadas actually represents the Gan Eden. There's a big Indian of Hadassim throughout the Halacha, but actually it represents the smell of Gan Eden to a certain extent. Ha Vaf is Amar Gehenim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, Ayef Anochi, I'm tired already. And I want my people, I want the victims. Zatz Chak, Halalu Zaru Shel Yitzchak, these are the children of Yitzchak Avinu, Hashem says. And Tar Yash Yesh Kas is Tar Yesh Li Kitos Kitos Shel Ovdik Chavim. And I got plenty of groups of people of Avodah Zarah, Shani and Nosein Lach, I'll give you, but when it comes to my children of Bnei Yisrael, that you can't touch. Okay.
Does it have here the conversion table of those or no?
No.
It has it, that's why it's doing with Lima.
Yeah, how to do it, yeah, exactly. The different. It's Atbash now, it's Aleph Lamed and
Bezi. Right. Yeah. Conversion table.
Okay, so that's, again, just an interesting way of darshing letters. It's a big in darshing letters. The beginning of the Zohar actually talks about when creating the world, there was a whole discussion which letter Hashem should use to create the world. It goes from tough, creating the tough, each letter is inadequate, and then ends up Bays is perfect to create the world. That's why it says Bereshis Bara. So we see there's a deep thing when it comes to the Koach, the Kedusha of each of the Osios, and that's really, this is the Gemara everyone starts off with when you analyze the Koach and the nature of each particular letter. Let's begin now. Kuf Dal Amud Beis. Amud Beis now, the Mishnah begins now with the further on discussing Ksiva, the Melacha of Kosev. So the Mishnah says that Kosev Shteyosi is a person who writes two letters, Behelam Echad, in one moment, without one thought, without one Helam, he's Chayiv. Kasav b'dyo, he writes with certain types of ink. We'll see in the Gemara what each of them are. But if he writes with a certain ink, which is the typical black ink we speak of, b'sam, which is red, b'sikra is gum, b'komes, Kasav b'dyo is ink, b'sam is paint, sikra is red, komos is gum, and kantom is some type of copper sulfate. U'b'chol davar shehuroshim, anything else that can make a mark, leaves a mark, al shnei kosei zivayos, or a person writes on two different walls, al shnei levachei pinkas, or two different panels, v'hei nagin zem zeh, they're touching each other, one would be chayav. Let's just stop here for one moment to an interesting discussion here based on this particular Mishnah. So there's a Chuvas Ramah who talks about whether or not a person is able to use a library book where you have letters and words on the side, library of Hewlett Library or something like that, property of Hewlett Library, opening and closing, would that be mechika or would that be kosev? So the Ramah proves in a tshuva from this Mishnah that it would be pater. Why? Because we said if you write a letter on this wall and that wall, you're chayev. The Ramah says, had it been that opening and closing is also chayev, there could have been a greater chiddush. You could violate ksiva even without a ksiva, which means it should have said, oftentimes you have the people, the merchants, or the sellers rather, who have their the signs up, and they fold it by the end of the day, they put it away, and they open it up the next day. But everything's written out. So you have a for sale or a 50% off. So you could have a case where you open it up, but you've now created a ksiva, even though the letters and words already are there. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't bring that as a chiv, says the Ramah, that must be that's pater. When you open and close things, and that forms letters that already exist, that's not a chayv. And he says, therefore, opening and closing library books will be permitted. The Magen Rambam is not compelled by this raya. He ends up saying it's a person is chayv for doing so, but the psak of the Mishnah Berurah is that a person is allowed to open and close them because that was the way it's made. It's made to be opened and closed. To open and close, that's the nature of it. Just like a door is meant to be opened and closed, we don't say that's bona and that's soser. So to open and closing books isn't kosev and mochig. The Mishnah Berurah says if a guy has two books, the same book, one has letters, one doesn't, so go for the one without the letters. But everything else being equal, he says there should not be a problem using library books on Shabbos, because again, this Mishnah doesn't bring this as a raya. So the Gemara now says, Vayter, further example, so all the things we listed, regardless of the color, and walls or tablets are next to each other, that would be chayv and ksiva. Hakosiv al-Basar, a person who writes on his skin, he's chayv as well. Hamisar al-Basar, a person who writes the scratch, the etch into their skin as well, he would be chayv. Rabbi Eliezer mechayv chatas v'chacham potum. So the last case, Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayv for scratching into your skin letters, but chachamim felt that one would be pater in doing so. Kasav b'mashkin, a person writes with liquids, orange juice or something, or meperos, which fruit juices. Bavak d'rachim, Rashi has two opinions what avak d'rachim means. Either means you're writing on that dust, or you're using avak d'rachim, using dust or dirt with which to write. U'b'avak hasofrim, some of the dust from the scribes, whatever that means, after the whatever leftovers they have. Some type of dust. B'chol davar shein miskayim, anything that doesn't last, one would be pater. This is actually used by, in Eretz Yisrael, I think a lot of the doctors are used in ink that ends up, over time, will go disappearing ink. So they write it initially, they write down the records, and it lasts till after Shabbos, but then it disappears. So it's ein miskayim, so it's only a pater of al-asr, it's midrabanan. So when it comes to certain things, it's certainly better to do something on Shabbos for pikuach nefesh purpose, do whatever you want, but if you can do it in a way that's only an isr midrabanan, that would certainly be best. So based on this Gemara, that something that doesn't last long is pater val aser, you're only chayv if it's miskayim. La'achar yad, the person does it with the back of his hand, he holds the pen upside down and writes that way, using putting the pen on the back of his hand, not the front way. Or a person uses biraglo, his feet, the piv, he uses his mouth to write, or bimarpiko, or his elbow. Kasav osachas, samach l'ksav, he writes just one letter next to other letters. Or kasav gabi ksav, where he traces over letters that already exist. Or niskavin lichtov ches because of shtei zayin, and he wanted to write ches but ended up not connecting the ches, so he ended up having two zayins. Or achas ba'aretz, achas bakor, one in the ground, one on the beam, which is higher up and far apart from each other. Or kasav al shnei kosei abayis, two walls of the house that are not adjacent to each other. Al shnei dape pinkas, on two different columns, ve nekin zemda, they're not touching each other. All these cases are pater. It's only when you write shtei osios that are next to each other would a person be chayiv. And then finally, in the Mishnah, Kasav Osachas Notrikin, person writes a letter, Notrikin, with like a ration, a little chip on the side there. So that, Rabbi Shua Ben Maseir says, you're chai for doing so because it represents a word. And Chachamim Protim, because they require that you write two letters. A symbol alone would not be sufficient if it's not two letters. Fine. That's the long Mishnah. Okay, so interesting thing is, the Aram actually writes that The only time you're chayiv an av malach of kosev is only when you're writing on klaf, on parchment. You're writing on some other type of paper, or some other type of material. He says, dyo on klaf, ink on klaf is the only time there's an av malacha. But everything else would be a tolda. It's still aser, it's still chayiv achatas. It's a midiraisa. There's an av, and then there's a tolda. That's the chiddush of the Yireim. So the Avni Nezer asks in the Yireim, I don't understand. When it comes to writing of Gittin, so we say that you write on any material using any ink, it's all the same. So how come by Shabbos there's a difference between an Av and a Tolda, but by Gittin it's all the same? So what's the difference, he says? So he quotes a Shita Mikubetzis in Baba Kama that asks the question, how come by Hilchos Shabbos? We know that there are Avos and Toldos in the world of Shabbos. There's Avos and Toldos in the world of Nezikim. How come only Shabbos has certainly Mudim to include Toldos? When it comes to Nezikim, we don't say you need a special drasha to include a tolda. It's all whatever's logic. You know, a bore is a pit. So, but if you have a rock, the sun trips on that rock, it's also a bore. There's no pasuk that says that a rock is a bore. But there's going to be svaras. So how come by Shabbos you have to have a limud, but by Nezikim you don't need to have a limud? It's understood. It's sensible. So he says, because since the limud of all Hilchos Shabbos is from the Mishkan, so it's already defined. The only way to go break out of that model is by adding psukim. When it comes to Nezikin, it's not about a limud from a Mishkan, it's just more what's sensible, and therefore there's no need for a drasha. So here as well, by Gittin, he says, even though by it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there's an Avna Tolda, that when it comes to writing, but when it comes to Gittin, Gittin has nothing to do with a certain limud learning from the Mishkan. Whatever is considered a ksiva is called a ksiva, regardless of how it relates back to the Mishkan. Okay. Let's go by to now. The Gemara says, going to analyze each of these different types of inks mentioned in the Mishnah. So the first thing that the Gemara says is dio is diosa, which is black ink. This, every time we see these words, they come up like 5-6 times in Shas to define these terms. So dio, dioso, it's black ink. Sam is a type of paint. Sikra is red. Amarabba barchana. Sakarta is shemats, called sakarta. Komos is koma, some type of gum. Kankantum is Amaraba Barbar Chana, Amar Shmuel, Charsa, Dush Gafe, which is a blackening of a shoemaker. So these are the different items, just defining these terms. So then it says, B'chol davar shuroshim, anything else that could leave a mark, Lasuye Mai, what's that coming to include? Lasuye Hodetani Rabbi Chananya, Ksavo B'meitarya, a person who writes with some type of rainwater, or V'afta, gallnut juice, kasher, that would also be acceptable with regards to, that's right in Gittin, I think, right? And then by extension to Shabbos, that'd also be a violation of Shabbos as well. That's what it's coming to include. So Tani Rabbi Chia, Ksa Kasvo B'Avar, if you write with lead, pencil, B'Shachor, B'Shichor, Shachor is charcoal, Shichor is the shoemaker's blackening. These are also kosher for writing of a get, and then by extension again to Shabbos would be an Isser, Deraisa. Then the Gemara says, HaMesaret Al-Basara, a person who etches or scratches into his skin something, letters, that would be a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham. So the Gemara now weighs in and says, Tanya, Amar lehen Rabbi Eliezer, rather, to Chachamim. Halo ben Satita, hotik shafim mimitzrayim, besrita shalbasaro. Didn't this individual ben Satita, he had carved out onto his skin all the different machshefa in Mitzrayim, and therefore we see that it is subject to its ksiva. Rashi says, "Hotzi kshafim shlohaya yachol otzian ksuvim." They couldn't take them out written from the tzrayim. Shayu achartumim botkin kol yotzim. Interesting. Just imagine they leave them at tzrayim. You figure that they would leave peacefully. They all got killed, but no, the chartumim actually waited on the end exit as the klaiser was leaving. Shlohayotzi kshafim lamdim levnei bedina acheres. And that's not referring to time. Must not be referring to times of klaiser leaving the tzrayim. Must be referring to a different point, maybe. Either Ben Satida was some individual who wrote all the machshev he learned on his skin because they weren't not letting them. They're checking all the bags. No one's allowed to leave with any types of these magics. So we see either way, it's called the ksiva. So Amru Lo Chacham said back to Rabbi Eliezer, Shotaya, that guy was an idiot. The guy was doing machshefa. V'ein mevin raya mina shotim. You can't bring a raya from the fact that that guy wrote on his skin doesn't make it a ksiva, and therefore writing on the skin would not qualify as a ksiva. Kasev osachas, the Gemara says, now, samach l'ksav. The Mishnah said, if you write a letter next to a ksav, let's say you have the word, I don't know, haya, and you write the letter vav, that's vihaya now, that letter, the Mishnah said, you're pata, because you only wrote one letter. So, man tana, who is this? Amarava bar ravhuna delok Rabbi Eliezer. Can't be like Rabbi Eliezer, because the Rabbi Eliezer, amar achas ala arik chayv. He felt if you write one, where in this case, you wove one thread on top of an already existing cloth, you'd be chayiv. Here's where, well, writing one letter on an already existing word would be chayiv in the world of Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah clearly does not hold like Rabbi Eliezer. You need to write two osiyot even in the context of an already existing word and already existing sentence. So then the Gemara says, Kasav agav iksav. A person writes, he traces over already existing ksav. So man tana, who is this tana? Am Rav Chista, de lok Rav Yehuda, can be Rav Yehuda. The tanya, the Braisa tells us, the hareisha yat sarach lichtov es Hashem, a person needs to write the name of Hashem, yud kei vavke. Erevin is kavin, lichtov Yehuda, but he had in mind to actually write it as Yehuda incorrectly, v'ta, and he made a mistake, and he ended up writing yud kei vavke correctly. So again, tsarech lichtov es Hashem, he was supposed to write yud kei vavke. For some reason, Niskavin Lichtov Yehuda, he had in mind to write Yehuda instead. V'tah, he made a mistake, v'lo hit the bodala, he didn't put the dollar there, so ma'avir lav kolmus, u'mikadsho, tivir Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, he accidentally wrote Yud Kei Vavke, which was correct though, but he didn't have the kavan of Shem Hashem. Every time you write Shem Hashem for a Sefer Torah, you have to have in mind the Shem Hashem. He didn't have the Shem Hashem. So what do you do? Just trace over the letters, Yud Kei Vavke, which were there already, with the proper kavanah. That's what you do. So we see from there that it's called the ksiva. Ksava gabe ksav is called the ksiva with Hilcha Sefer Torah. The Hilcha Shabbos it should be as well. From the fact that our Mishnah says ksava gabe ksav is not a ksiva, must be our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, it's like the Chachamim as the Braisa continues. Chachamim omim ein Hashem menemufcher. This is not the best form of Hashem. Meaning it might work, but it's not really very acceptable. So even since it's not menemufcher legabe Hilcha Sefer Torah, it also would not qualify for a violation of ksiva on Shabbos. They actually bring there's a riot. It's a little bit confusing, so I'll just mention it without going to the details. But there's a discussion in the Beis Yosef based on this particular sugya of when a person sofer writes Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, should he say it bipeh or it's enough to have machshava? Anytime there's a need for kavana or lishma, we always question: do you have to have kavana but machshava, or should you say it? And we discussed recently in the Smichas Chaver about Tosefa Shabbos. Do you have to say, I'm accepting Shabbos early now, or it's enough to think about machshava of Tosefa Shabbos? So here's, well, there's a machlokas, whether you need a machshava or a bepeh. So there is a sefer that the Beis Yosef quotes of the Rabbeinu Shimshon, who's brought in the Mordechai Menachos, that proves from the Gemara that you need to actually say, L'shem Hashem, the machshava is not sufficient. Beis Yosef doesn't like the raya, but nonetheless, all the sofrim pass that one should say, this is L'shem Sefer Torah, that you're writing it L'shem Hashem. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tana, quotes a braisa, which says as follows. Kasav, person writes, Kasav Ozachas, Vishlim l'sefer. Let's say a person writes a letter, and that letter is the final letter of the entire sefer. So you're chayiv for doing so. What are you chayiv for? We'll get to in just a moment. We'll get back to two pieces. Let's just finish this little section here. So you write one letter, Hishlima l'sefer, you completed the sefer, or Aruk Chodechad, you do one thread of weaving, Vishlima l'begad, now you've completed the begad entirely. Chayiv, you're chayiv for doing so. Even though normally we say one is not sufficient, and when it comes to being mashlim something, that is sufficient. So man tana, who holds this way? Amar Rava bar Rav Huna, Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Achas al Ha'arik Chayv. Rabbi Eliezer in general holds that one thread of one letter is enough. So that's the Shita in general. Gemara says no. Even this could be like the Rabbanon. Amar Ravashi, Amar Afilu Rutem Rabbanon, Lahashim Shiny. In general, Rabbanon require two osios. In general, they require two threads. When it comes to being mashim something, in this case, you'd be Chayv. So now the question is, what type of Sefer are we referring to? And number two is, what are you Chayv for being mashim? Right. Pashish would be Makabe Patish. The Miri says there's no Makabe Patish. This is Ksiva. You could violate Ksiva with one letter. Why? Because the understanding is Makabe Patish, says the Miri, is only if it's something different than the actual Malach. In other words, if you're doing Ksiva and the final Ksiva, that's all Ksiva. But let's say I'm building a book. So Ksiva is the writing, but I need to, bind the book. So binding wouldn't be Ksiva. So binding would be the Makabe Patish. But if it's the final Malacha, that's all ksiva. While Rashi thinks, no, you're violate two. You could violate both ksiva and makabe patish at the same time. You could still be violating makabe patish while doing the melacha you're involved in. So Rashi says there's two melachas, there's ksiva and makabe patish. The Miri says you're only ksiva, but makabe patish is not here at play. Now, which sefer are we referring to here? So look at Rashi. Rashi says around 8 narrow lines up, Vishlima l'sefer, os achrona shel achas mechaf dalad svarim. For one of the 24 books of Tanakh, that's what we're referring to. And the Minchas Chinuch says, why? Who cares? Why not? If I'm writing a novel, why can't the last letter also be a completion of the book? So the understanding is, because when I'm writing a novel, there are no set letters and words. I could write or add and subtract whatever I want. When it comes to Tanakh, there's a set amount of words. We know it has to be there, so that's called hashlama. In my mind, writing a novel, that's not hashlama. I can, if you have, speak to any writer, they can write for years. They can always change things, edit things. They sometimes have to just like stop and just let it go. When it comes to Tanakh, obviously, you have no choice, and that's why only by Sifrei Tanakh would this halacha actually be relevant. Now, from Rashi, it sounds like only if you write the last letter, the Os Acharona, would you be chayiv. The Be'er Halacha says, let's say you write a middle letter. Let's say one letter was missing from the, I don't know, Sefer Yeshua. So you fix a vav in the middle. Would that be in violation? So Pashup Shat from Rashi is only the last letter, but the Be'er Halacha says it shouldn't make a difference. As long as it's the final letter that you're writing, whether the middle, the end, the beginning, it should all be in violation. That's how he concludes. If it's the final letter, no matter where the letter is found, it would be in violation of Hashlama, and it would be certainly Ksiva, and perhaps also Machka B'Papdish, depending on the Rashi and the Me'iri. Let's finish this daf now. The Gemara says, we are around 10 lines on the bottom. Amar Rabbi Ami, Kasav Os Achas B'Tiveria, V'Achas B'Tziporia. A guy writes one letter in Tiveria, another in a different city, Tzipori. Ksivahi, Chayv, that's Chayv. It's a Ksivahi, that's a real writing. Eloshim Mochos Akreva, it's not next to each other. It's just, okay, one might be, they're 10 miles apart. But it doesn't take much to travel and bring them close to each other. Yeah, different cloth, which we said in the Mishnah. If they're next to each other, that's right. Certainly chayv. So now, all they're missing, it's kind of like mechuser zman, right? We say that oftentimes, mechuser zman, you did it at nighttime, but it's just lacking time. Eventually, it doesn't take much, just a little bit of time, a little bit of space gets in the way. But we'll see in contrast, v'hatzan does in the Mishnah, again, chayv, ksivahi, ela shem mechuser kreva, just lacks just some spatial separations. V'hatzan, but doesn't the Mishnah clearly say in our Mishnah that two walls, opposite walls, the south and north wall, or east and west, where they're opposite each other, not next to each other. Or al shnei dape pinkas, are two different boards of the ledger. They nag and zeb, they're not touching each other, pater. So all they're lacking is kreva as well. So why is that case pater, but the case of tiveria, tzipori, or chayv? So hasam, mechusar maisa, the kreva, hachala mechusar maisa, the kreva. There, all we're lacking by tzipori and tiveria is just simply they're not next to each other. But in the wall, in the houses, or the ledger, you have to actually take them off first and then put them next to each other. There's a maisa ktsitsa that's necessary in order to remove it, as opposed to maisa kreva. Maisa kreva is not called a maisa. Just like mechuser zman, the sun's going to set, the sun's going to rise, that's not called a mechuser maisa. That's just a time and space. But when it requires a real maisa of digging up the house, digging up the wall, that's considered a big lacking, and that's why in those cases, one would only be pater. The Gemara now says, we'll finish the last few lines and we'll stop here. Tana, Hegya Osachas, Chayv, a person, he edits, he fixes one letter, he's Chayv for doing so. So the Gemara says, why is that the case? Hashta, Kasav Osachas, Pater, Hagya Osachas, Chayv, writing a letter is Pater, so now just fixing a little letter is a little mistake, that itself is Chayv, that doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshis, Hacha B'mayaskin, what's the case here? Kugon Shinatlu, Lagago Shalches, Vaso Shnei Zainim. Referring to, you wrote a ches accidentally. A ches is made up of two zines, and then you actually put a little, the way it works in the top of the ches is you have a little like triangle, like pyramid on top connecting two zines. So you wanted two zines. Whatever you were doing, you wrote the top of it. If you erase, if you scratch out that little triangular top of the two zine, it's no longer there. You just now transform the ches into a zine. So now in essence, you made two letters. You could, mechika, erasing, could actually be letters. So in theory, if I, let's say, have, you know, I have a, I guess it's a, you know, let's say a frost on my window. So if I could erase the frost, if you will, that's now a way of writing. I wrote two letters. Now whether that's chayv or not is dependent on whether it's miskayemis or not, but you could have erasing could actually accomplish a ksiva. So then the Gemara says, v'aso, again, back to kagon shenatlu l'gago shel ches, you remove the gag, the roof of the ches, v'aso shnei zayin, and now you made two zayins. And Rav Amar, kagon shenatlu l'tago shel dalet v'aso resh, where it's you took the back end of the dalet, you've scratched the top right of the dalet, and now you've created, you rounded it off and created a resh. That's what we're referring to, where you've created a new letter, and that would be in violation. Just look at Rashi here. Rashi says, the last Rashi on the page, Rav Amar Kagon Shanatlu Latago the dalet, he took the back end of the dalet, Delohavi Elahaga Osachas, it's only fixing, editing one letter, b'davar mu'ar, it's a small little thing, you're chayiv hol v'zehu tikkun ha-sefer. Since you fix the sefer in such a way, that's called accomplishing something. The aser la'adam lishos sefer sheinu muga, you can't leave a pasul sefer Torah in your possession. Sheinu muga mishum al tishkon ba'alecha avla, you don't want an avla in your possession, unless the sefer Torah is so pasul, it's no longer, you can't, it's not fixable anymore. It's talking about not just like my essay, I fixed the letter. It's referring to a Sefer Torah. I just made the Sefer Torah kosher now. I made the Sefer Tanakh kosher now. That's when editing one letter would be mashlimit and would be considered a ksiva for doing so on Shabbos. Okay, we will stop here and everyone have a wonderful day. We'll continue with Hashem tomorrow. My passion.